through ball like Kevin Durant. Let's go.
All net for Kevin Durant. Booker for the right hand jam.
See the shots that I took.
Wet like I'm booked.
It's time to play Kevin or Devin on the Wolf and Luke Show.
Okay, playoff edition. Kevin or Devin, let's check the standings. Oh, nobody has a record because it's the playoffs.
But Luke, who won the regular season?
Oh, you want to hang a
The regular
banner?
Season doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When you got a big three,
by the way,
doesn't matter. All that matters is get in.
Mal, who won the regular season?
Like the in-season
Like
tournament?
I said, the regular season doesn't matter.
Based on earnings, we all know the regular season does matter. That's why we're all so jacked up and fired up when the Suns won, beat the T-Wolves, and suddenly, guess what? The Pelicans lost. And the Suns were the sixth seed.
Good luck trying to sell us on the regular season mattering. The game is simple, and now the stakes have been raised. Although I don't know what the stakes are, but the stakes have been raised.
What are the stakes?
There's got to be some sort of like punishment if you lose or reward
if
you win.
We'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out. But this is how you know it's a big deal. There's not even a game tonight, and we're still doing it because it's a playoff game tomorrow. Suns, Timberwolves, game one of that best of seven series. The game is simple. You have to pick who scores more points, Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. Who's going first?
Okay, as the regular season champion.
Okay.
I think I should go last.
Okay.
Okay?
You get to pick
Do you agree
first.
With that? No, please. There's got to be something worth it.
I don't agree with that, because if you're playing golf, like, the person that gets the better score on one hole gets to shoot first on the next hole. That's
Rick,
how that works.
Are we playing golf?
No, but this is this is how it works. Like,
no,
you get to go first.
It is Rick Rollmaker. That is his name. But I think you should get the reward if you get to pick who goes first.
Exactly.
And I think you should remember what Rick was trying to do to you when you make this decision.
So Rick, you go first.
Okay. Well, we've seen Devin Booker go off in many playoff series in the past, and this is not an elimination game where he is not necessarily the same Devin Booker that we've seen in the playoffs.
This sounds like actual logic. Don't you usually pick based on like what we just ate? Okay, go ahead. Good luck.
Booker rhymes with brisket.
Yeah.
So.
I am going to go with Booker. He's going to have like 50 tomorrow.
50.
Okay,
all right.
There it is, Rick. Going with Book. Mel.
I was also going to go with Devin Booker because Kevin Durant played all like so many games in the regular season. So now it's playoff book, playoff time. Book it.
I see. Oh, book
you know, his friendship with Kat.
Yeah.
I'm going Book.
It's tough to pick against Book. I'm looking at the leading scorer for the Suns in each of the last seven games, and they have not had the same leading scorer in consecutive games in the last seven games. I also, since I'm about to make my pick, I'll give you the... I'm assuming you're going to make me go before you.
Of course.
Points per game against Minnesota this season, Kevin Durant 22.7, Devin Booker 22.3. So it's basically identical.
Goodness, how about that?
It's the playoffs. This is his team. The cat thing actually, I think, is a big deal. This is the team he famously yelled, "I have no friends," as he just buried them in a game a couple years ago. Until proven otherwise, give me Devin.
You know what? I'm going to create a new rule. When three people take the same person and you go last, you automatically have to choose the other.
No, you don't.
Yeah, because that's not fun.
No,
babe.
You don't, Mel.
Why didn't you go first?
No, Mel, you don't. And the reason being is because you want to win. You want to be right. Not wrong. You want to be right.
That's the object
that's
of this
game. That's the one thing you see. You employed that strategy, Mel, in the regular season. And you guys didn't even make the playoffs in the regular season.
So why am I even playing?
I'm just because it is the second season now. Can I just say this? Here's what I believe.
If you don't pick Devin after that speech.
Here's what I believe right now. This is going to be a very, very nasty, physical series. I ask you right now, who do you think is going to deal with that physicality, that nastiness, a little bit better? Devin Booker or Kevin Durant? I think it's going to be Devin Booker. And because I think it's going to be Devin Booker, because of the physicality of this series and the nastiness of this series, I'm going to go with Book in game one.
But we are a this is clearly a Phoenix-based sports show. We all took the guy who isn't Kevin Durant in the first game of the playoffs.
But once again, you know, it doesn't mean that KD can't go out there and light it up. He can, of course. But I'm going with a theme this entire series. And this is going to be nasty. And we saw it in the last game of the season, game number 82. We saw it, a little dust up on the court. Get ready. We're going to see it again.
Four Devins.
So then, what is your guys' prediction for the entire series?
All right, so no. I'll give you game by game if you want.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, I think the Suns.
What?
I think the Suns win. And by the way, since I'm doing this, Wolf,
here,
you know
how about this?
By the way, I'm not doing game by game.
You will, though, now.
No.
So now, ready? Game one, Luke.
Suns.
Wolf. I played your little game. You have to play my little games.
T-Wolves.
There's only
okay.
two options.
Game two.
T-Wolves.
Suns.
Right. Game three.
Suns.
Suns.
Game four.
Suns.
T-Wolves.
Game five.
T-Wolves.
Suns.
Game six, because I lost count.
I have Suns in six. And
T-Wolves.
Winning. Oh, so you okay, so you have a game seven.
Game seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suns. Game seven. Let's see it.
But you know what? Honestly, my conviction on that is only because of how inconsistent they've been.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I expected to go long, a longer series. Now, we'll see. But if I believe what I say, Basinonians, and I do, I have to go that route. And by the way, flip a coin in game seven at that point.
Yeah, I don't really have much interest in a game seven, to be honest. But yeah, I'll go Suns, T-Wolves, Suns, Suns, T-Wolves, Suns. That's how the series, but you can just go ahead and book that right now. Book.
Okay, what did I say? Say it the way that Luke said his.
We'll check
how
tape.
Did I do that, Mel? I mean, did you write that down?
Didn't you go boom, T-Wolves, boom, boom, Suns, boom. Suns, T-Wolves?
Yes.
Suns, T-Wolves, T-Wolves? You didn't pick a winner in game seven, did you?
Yeah,
did you pick
Suns. Suns?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know.
So say it again, Mel. How did I do it?
We're going to.
Do you want to play your nickname game?
Yeah, okay, I do.
Where are we going here next?
Oh, yeah, okay. Where are we?
Oh, that's you know what we're going to do?
Funny you should ask, Luke.
I think I'm going to take a nap. Now that I ate
Wolf's
that brisket.
Take a nap after eating all that brisket. I'm going to eat more brisket. We'll come back. We're going to react to some of what Shane Doan just told us, but also what Gary Bettman said in the Bettman and Morello press conference from earlier today. That's next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Wolf and Luke with today's MLB standings. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one residential and commercial roofing company. They've got you covered.
All right, let's get some MLB standings your way as the Diamondbacks are getting set to take on the Giants again tonight. Jordan Montgomery on the mound against Blake Snell. And, you know, we're 20 games in now, Wolf, so it's not insignificant to look at these. The Dodgers are 12-9. The Padres are 11-10. The Giants and D-backs are both 9-11, so only 2.5 games back of L.A., but also 2 games below 500, 20 games in is... We're an eighth of the way through the season now.
I know.
I don't know that I expected the D-backs to be under 500.
We were talking about this just the other day, as a matter of fact. You know, all these expectations that we had coming into the season, you would have told me it was going to be 9-11 in the first 20 games.
Yeah.
I would have gone, what?
Yeah.
not that exactly. I'd be, like, concerned. I'm not, not terrified. Not part of the terrified family. But I would have never picked a 9-11 start for this team either.
I definitely, if you had told me the over or under for the first 20 games is 9.5, I would have gone over for sure. Rockies 4-15.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's good. 4-15?
4-15, yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
They won a game.
Yeah. How about you look at the NL East or AL East? The Red Sox are 10-10 and they're in last place. That's a brutal division. Sorry, Boston. All right. Gary Bettman and Alex Morello had their press conference earlier today. Gary Bettman started it off, and he did first address the just miserable situation sports fans in the Valley are in with hockey right now.
Days like today are difficult. They're sad. And
I sympathize with and understand and feel sorry about what the fans of the Coyotes are going through. And there probably is every conceivable emotion, and I respect that, and I feel badly about that.
Wolf, I'll say this. Gary Bettman, as all commissioners do, gets booed pretty much every city he's in. Every time they present the cup, he gets booed. It's almost like a joke. I mean, we see it with Roger Goodell at the draft every year, every pick. He's like trying to figure out a way to say something positive so he doesn't get booed. Bettman just kind of doesn't care. He'll lean right into it. But this is not a city where Gary Bettman should ever get booed. There's other ones he shouldn't get booed either. Like when Vegas won the cup and he got booed, it's like, really? But he's done. It's, you know how tough this is for me to say this right now as the team is leaving. He's done about everything you could ask to keep a hockey team, an NHL team here in the desert. And I do think he's intent on bringing one back.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one right there. You know, first of all, let me just say this personally, my brothers. I think Gary Bettman might be the best commissioner in all four major sports. I think he might be the best. I have a lot of regard for him, a lot of respect for him. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he has done. Having said all of that right now, I thought one of my biggest takeaways when he was making his statement was getting a building in 5 years. You get a building in 5 years, he basically said, with Alex Morello sitting right there, you get a building within 5 years and you'll get an NHL franchise back here. Mm-hmm. That was from the commissioner's mouth.
Yeah.
And we all know that Gary Bettman is a believer in the Phoenix market, a big believer in having an NHL team here in the desert. And there is no doubt in my mind the NHL will be back here, because where there's a will, there's a way. And you just happen to have the commissioner of the NHL having that will to get hockey in the desert.
Yeah, that's the commissioner, as you just pointed out, saying it on the record. He detailed how it's not really a traditional expansion situation. And Shane Doan talked about this too. You know, you're not expanding to a new city where it's like, okay, hopefully we can build a fan base there. There is a fan base here. There's hockey is alive and well in the Valley. The issue has been the Coyotes' instability over the years. There's a lot of hockey fans here that haven't necessarily embraced the Coyotes, but they love hockey. And then you see it when it becomes an event, whether the team's in the playoffs or, I mean, I always think back to if they had won the draft for Connor McDavid, who's one of the best players in the history of the sport already, and they should have won that draft, or if they had won the Auston Matthews draft lottery, that, you know, what that would have done, because it would have made it an event. And we saw it the other night. It was an event under bad circumstances, obviously, but everybody showed up to that. It was interesting to hear him detail how this is almost like a 33rd team that's just inactive right now. Like, it's gone dark. But like you said, if you get the arena and not, hey, in 4.5 years, we've secured a deal for an arena. No, like, get the arena and start building it. And if it is built, man, this is like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come back, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the sequel to Field
right,
of Dreams.
Right, exactly. Do you have any other sound bites you wanted to play over there?
If you build it, he will come.
Goodness, how Mel is so quick on the button.
That one's not really one we typically reference either. I didn't know that was in there. He talked about the best way to keep hockey in the desert.
We could all talk about and reminisce, and I use that word in quotes, over the trials and tribulations of how we got here. But here is where we are, and from a league standpoint, from a player standpoint, from a Coyote standpoint, what we're doing is really, in my mind and the minds of the governors who approved this yesterday, the right way to proceed so that we can ultimately have hockey in the desert where I believe it can not just survive but thrive.
Well, if you know how convoluted and complicated this has become since Jerry Moyes put him in bankruptcy and tried to sneak him off to Hamilton one night in May of 2009. Like, the commissioner wasn't going to notice, hey, didn't we have a team in Arizona and now there's one in Hamilton? 15 years, really, of trying to figure out what needs to happen. And this, okay, but if this happens, does this happen? And is the Goldwater Institute going to block it? Or is Tempe First going to be like, no, we need more used bookstores, so you can't have this, or whatever. We got to preserve our landfill. It's pretty simple now. You either build the arena and you get your team back, and you'll get it back. Or you don't build the arena and you don't get a team.
If you build it, he will come.
What would we have all done if Gary Bettman had said that?
You know, he didn't say that, but he said something very, very similar to that right there. I also thought, too, Alex Morello, a couple of takeaways. Number one, he said, I will win that land auction. Did you hear that comment right there when he said that? That, to me, was, he's going in there as a businessman once again. He's going to win that land auction. And I believe him when he says that.
That was pretty definitive. And I don't think this is why we're in this position, but I can't help but wonder, so many times when there's been a moment where the Coyotes are going to play in Los Arcos, or they're going to get an arena right there by Mesa, or you're going to get an arena, in this case up north, or certainly the one that made sense in Tempe, somebody always just appears and is like, no, you're not doing that. And sometimes I remember you last year calling them obstructionists, whatever term you want to use. I'm sure it's different in each situation. And some of those situations weren't as great for the city. I get that. But this is probably appealing on some level to the NHL because it's a little more off the radar.
Yeah.
Like, we're not playing in a college arena, even though I love Mullet Arena, while you guys figure this out. We're going to go and keep playing. You're either going to figure it out or you're not. It might not be so high profile now, Alex Morello going to do this to win this land auction on June 27th because there's not a professional sports team attached to it right now. Maybe he'll just be able to go win it instead of it becoming a circus.
Well, when you're a billionaire and you have an awful lot to actually make.
That's the other thing.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying right now that it gives you the incentive to actually say, we've got to win this land auction right here. And I think he's definitely going to do that. So I do believe hockey is coming back to the desert at some point in time in the next 5 years. Hockey is coming back here because of Gary Bettman, because of that will, and because of Alex Morello being a good businessman. He might not be a good owner, Basinonians, but he's a good businessman, and he's got a great business opportunity in front of him to make even more money.
Now we just got to get those people to build the casinos in Vegas that are like 8 times bigger than an NHL arena, and they build it in like an afternoon.
Yeah,
that's what we need instead of it's going to take us like 17 years to build this. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We come back. What does Kellen Olsen think will be the key for the Suns against the Timberwolves starting tomorrow? We're going to ask our own Phoenix Suns guru for Arizona sports next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hard to see you out there, Kellen.
I've talked to like 19 basketball people in 3 hours.
Arizona Sports, our Suns mega mind, Kellen Olsen, joining Wolf and Luke to talk about the Phoenix Suns now.
Yeah, kind of a big game going on in Minnesota tomorrow, 12:30 Arizona time, 23 hours from now. Kellen Olsen is either there or on the way there or stuck in an airport. He's joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. This is a fun game. Let's play Where's Kellen? Kellen, where are you?
I am thankfully staring out my hotel window at the Minnesota skyline, not awkwardly pacing around a airport gate while people stare at me as I make basketball analysis over live radio. Hello.
Well, that's good to hear.
Killer, you know what? To the obvious question, buddy, where do you begin on this series right now? What is the first thought that comes to mind when you think of Suns T-Wolves?
Style clash. I've covered nearly a dozen playoff series now at this point, been thankful to do that. And outside of the finals, this is the most dynamic one that I've covered so far, just in terms of previewing it. And that's before the ball goes up. So I can't imagine how much is going to change and the dynamics that are going to be at play once we see everything out there. But this is a styles clash. Minnesota, 2 summers ago, bet big on size. They traded for Rudy Gobert, bet that a Gobert Towns front court would work. They re-signed Naz Reid last summer, which was a no-brainer, but at the same time gave them 3 centers they have to find time for. And it has worked out for them in the regular season, but then you look at what the Suns did this offseason. They start 3 guards. Kevin Durant is really the only wing in the rotation. Cade Bates-Diop didn't work out. Yuta Watanabe didn't work out. So guys like Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson are going to bring size and physicality just like that front court will. But the Suns are going to be able to space out the floor, and they're going to be able to have success working against those bigs like they did in the regular season. So it might, your pick might just come down to like the style of play that you prefer more, but there's a lot more to this matchup that we're, I'm sure, going to discuss for the rest of this segment.
Well, yeah, and you kind of touched on one thing I wanted to ask you about, Kellen, already, but the physicality, especially, look, that's something Minnesota does naturally, so it's not like they have to change how they play, but also I'm sure they're looking at a team across the court from them that has beaten them three times this season, and they're going to kind of just do whatever it takes to win. Are you concerned at all with the way this Suns team is built and the players on this team that they could get rattled by that sort of play?
I don't know if rattled is the right word, but I'm wondering if it can still be advantageous to them, because the Suns led the league in free throw rate this season, excluding garbage time. So they were really the best at getting to the line. Kevin Durant has a lot to do with that. Devin Booker has a lot to do with that. But ever since the change in officiating that happened about 2 months ago, when the league really just started to let a lot of things go, from March on, the Suns were 20th, so they dropped quite a bit. They were pretty much dominating that category all year until that point. And I'm wondering if the Suns are still going to be able to get those types of calls in the postseason against a team that is going to batter them. They are going to look to wear down Kevin Durant off the ball as much as possible. They're going to look to make sure Devin Booker gets hit when he drives the ball. Like, they are going to make sure that kind of thing is happening. So can the Suns still benefit off of it? We'll see, because they're – couple other numbers at play here. I think one is that Minnesota forces a lot of turnovers. They turn the ball over a lot themselves, though. Now, the Suns don't force nearly as many turnovers as the Timberwolves, but this is a team where they could end up doing okay in the turnover battle if they force some for themselves. And that, of course, was a story of these regular season matchups, right? So there are a ton of numbers and a ton of just inside the game things to watch for as soon as tomorrow.
Boy, I'm with you on this one, Killer. I really do believe this is going to be a nasty, physical series. Whoever comes out on top, I think it's going to be physical and it's going to be nasty. But I want to ask you, who do you think has more to gain by winning game one?
Minnesota, absolutely. Yeah. I think that if Phoenix wins game one, the doubt could start to creep in for Minnesota. We're like, what if we just can't beat these guys? What if we just got screwed here with a bad matchup? We're having our best regular season in over a decade, and you got to go back to the Kevin Garnett years to look for the last Minnesota team that had this much promise or that made it past the first round. And I think that can start to happen. But if the opposite happens and Minnesota punches them in the mouth for the first 6 minutes of the game, and they realize, like, oh, that was just a regular season, and then the Suns realize, oh, that was just a regular season, I don't think it's going to be a realization for either of them, to be clear. But I'm really interested tomorrow just to see how the first, like, 5 minutes goes and what the tone of the game is going to be and how each team responds, because I think there is a little bit of mental to it, like you're alluding to, Wolf. I think that's a really good point.
We're talking to Kellen. Well, you got the guest telling you you're making good points.
Well, you know, Killer knows.
Jeez, wow, okay.
Luke, I never compliment you on this show. Don't be ridiculous. Don't expect things that never happen.
No, I'm just going to sit here and wait until you do.
He respects his elders.
Oh, okay.
I even have to make fun of you in like a horrible week for you. I'm really sorry.
That's fine. I need it. I need the pain on top of the pain. It'll make me laugh. Here, Kellen, I'm going to ask you this. This is kind of a public service for the Suns fans out there that maybe aren't super familiar with the Timberwolves. You know how this plays out, right? If the series goes 7 or even 6 games, by the end, Suns fans are going to really despise at least one player on the Timberwolves. So who in your mind is going to be that guy that irritates Suns fans?
Oh, man. Gosh, Gobert seems to infuriate people quite a bit, mm-hmm. with his, not antics necessarily, but just the way that he impacts a game and just how he will look for foul calls. He will like flail his arms and flop a little bit, even if he's a giant human being. I think Karl-Anthony Towns kind of that way too. I don't know where Anthony Edwards lies on the Spurs spectrum. And what I mean by that is, like, I hated Manu Ginobili with every fiber of my being. I respected Tim Duncan. I did not respect Manu Ginobili. Like, where is Anthony Edwards on that spectrum? I don't know. He talks a lot of trash, and it is going to be active out there with that for this whole series. And there's the whole thing with him and Book and who's the best two guard in the world. The fact that Book is 11-1 against him over their career so far. There's a lot there. I think that in general, how about the whole team? I should have just said the whole team, because they're going to try to beat him up.
So in game one, Killer, as you're looking at it right now, who do you think has got to step up for the Phoenix Suns? I mean, we know the big three, of course, but is it one of those guys in particular you expect to step up and make a difference in game one?
So before you said Phoenix Suns, my mind immediately went to Karl-Anthony Towns, and I'll loop in the Suns here in a second. But for those not familiar with Karl-Anthony Towns, he's an incredibly talented basketball player, a seven-footer who's agile. He can drive to the basket, but he's mostly been a finesse player at this point in his career, and he's an extremely talented shooter and scorer. In the last two postseasons, he's melted down. He's spiraled significantly in these games. He's foul trouble's a huge issue for him. He makes all these bad decisions, and it's just strange to see him in the playoffs, and this is a big, big moment for him. So to bring in the Suns here, Mike Conley or Karl-Anthony Towns has to guard Bradley Beal. That is a problem for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think it's going to be Mike Conley, but to that point, the whole reason why you build a big three like this, there are several reasons why, but the main one is, okay, you have this guy that you're lucky to have guys that can guard Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, right? You're lucky to have two guys like that. No one has a third. There's no other team that has that many options. So now Bradley Beal is going to get one of those mismatches, or it's Grayson Allen. One of those two guys is going to be guarded by Karl-Anthony Towns, and that's going to be the guy that they continue to target like they did in the regular season. So my answer is whoever Karl-Anthony Towns is guarding. So off tip-off tomorrow, look at who he's guarding, and that's my guy.
Kellen Olsen, great stuff, man. We look forward to your coverage through these playoffs.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kellen.
Okay, buddy.
That's Kellen Olsen joining us right there on the Arizona Sports Line. Noted Coyotes fan growing up, Kellen Olsen. Walked in here with a Ladislav Nagy jersey the other day.
Wow.
All right, so we come back. I know, that's a deep cut. When we come back, it's been a busy, awful week around the world of sports. We'll get you caught up on everything that went down with our work week wrap-up next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. We are just a day away from game one of the Suns' first round matchup against the Timberwolves. What will be the key if the Suns are to take game one on the road? We'll discuss it on today's Burns and Gambo show, 2-6 on Arizona Sports.
Final segment of the week. Wolf's got the hat on backwards. He's already out of here. Barbecue's been packed up. All right, let's get to the work week wrap up. See if I turn that on.
Monday.
Boy, that's fitting. Grayson Allen, 4-year contract extension with the Suns. God, that was this week. That feels like he's already 3 years into that extension.
That was Monday, though, right?
Yeah. Yes. Here's James Jones.
It just solidifies our core for the near future, and it allows us to know with confidence that the team that's investing time and spending time together on the floor during these moments will be together for the foreseeable future, and we can continue to build and build towards a championship contending team for the years to come.
That's what happens when you lead the league in three-point percentage.
Kind of helps. Diamondbacks lost to the Cubs 3-2 in extra innings. Merrill Kelly, 1 earned run over 5 innings. Team USA finalizing a 2024 Paris Olympics men's basketball roster that includes both Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Here's Devin Booker.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other thing like it. Did a great job of surprising us and popping up in Minnesota. So, you know, we had no idea, and then we walk in the room, and, you know, G's there, and the jerseys are there. So, you know, I'm excited about the experience. You know, obviously the rosters came out now as, you know, star-studded.
It was so cool the way they did that. Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's Grant Hill with a jersey.
Yeah. And I love the fact, too, that Book considers that to be an honor.
We saw it, you know, when he was there last time. He was like, yeah, I don't need any stats. I just want to play on the team. Remember, he was like the hustle guy.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Kevin Young set to replace Mark Pope as BYU's head coach. Here's Devin Booker again.
Just a real one. Somebody that I pick his brain off. You know, we'll talk back and forth. We'll come in the next day and talk about a game that was on TV last night and, you know, what we would have did differently. And, you know, usually we end our conversations on the same exact page, or, you know, every idea that we present is usually the same. So just a like-minded individual.
if it was 2018, people would hear those comments and be like, is Devin Booker going to BYU now? Remember?
Yeah.
It was always like, hey, Booker said something nice about anywhere else, he must be leaving.
Yeah, you know, I want to see two things out of Book. I want to see him attack and be aggressive once again, and I don't want to see any smiles. I don't want to see it. Not here.
It's not smile season.
Not now. It's not smile season. I love that.
Gabby Moreno was scratched from the lineup with a right thumb contusion in the D-backs game. We learned the Suns game one tip time against the Timberwolves, 12:30.
We're better than you, and we know it.
I do like that cut. D-backs beat the Cubs 12-11 in extra innings. Randall Grichuk, the walk-off double.
You know, be aggressive, find a pitch, put out over the plate, try to put a good swing on it. You know I have a chance to drive the ball in the gap, drive the ball over the fence to get the run in. And, you know, obviously, lefty-righty matchup there, you know, favors me. If it was a righty, you know, approach might be a little different, but at that point, I'm trying to drive the ball.
Boy, that was awesome. That's exactly what he did, too. Mm-hmm. The grit check drove it into the gap.
I like it. I think it's the last time the D-backs won. LeBron, the Lakers beat the Pelicans. They will get a rematch with the Nuggets. The Kings beat the Warriors. They'll face the Pelicans tonight for the eighth seed on to Wednesday. Tommy Henry, Eduardo Rodriguez to the... Tommy Henry option down. Eduardo Rodriguez to the 60-day IL. I'm like half convinced that is you voicing that in that movie. I really am.
You got to see the movie.
Yeah.
Epic. Go see it.
Does that character talk more in the movie?
Yeah. No.
No, that's pretty much it. Okay. Jordan Montgomery, we learned, is going to make his D-backs debut Friday, which is today. Here's Mike Hazen when he joined us.
We're excited. Look, he's an accomplished major league pitcher. Everybody in this market saw him pitch against us in key situations last year. We're glad we have him. I think he's going to add a level of stability to our rotation that is critical over 162. And I'm excited to see him go pitch.
Cannot wait for this, right? Here yeah. we go. Jordan Montgomery, here we go. Welcome to the fold, bruh.
Jordan Montgomery Friday, Suns playoff Saturday. I like this.
This is pretty good, man.
D-backs lost to the Cubs 5-3. The Sixers beat the Heat. They're going to face the Knicks. The Bulls beat the Hawks, so they are still in the play-in tonight. Coyotes beat the Oilers 5-2, the final game in Arizona. Here's Shane Doan.
It's been difficult to be a Coyotes fan, and the ones that stuck it out and have been fans this whole time, it's such a testament to them, because a lot of places when you struggle and when things don't go well, the fans will give up on you. And the fans really haven't given up on the Coyotes, and in that part of it, it's pretty special.
Something tells me that, once again, hockey is coming back to the Basin at some point in time. And this is just me, Basinonians, but Shane Doan's going to be part of it.
Would not hate that part if Shane Doan was involved. On to Thursday. Bonnie Austin-Ford spoke to the media ahead of the draft.
Good players, right people. Can't get enough of them. So that will always be our draft philosophy, picking the right people. Good people, good players, people that fit what we're trying to do, both on the field and off the field. You know, we can't go wrong if we draft those people.
Good players, right people. I love the way he said that. Good players, right people.
Coyotes move to Utah, approved by the Board of Governors. D-backs lost to the Giants 5-0. Ryan Nelson pulled with an elbow injury.
Talk about an elbow without playing the cut. No,
every time that's in there, I'm going to play it. Sam Levitt's going to be ASU's starting quarterback on to Friday. Oh, sanctions for ASU, although I'm not really sure how damaging they're going to be compared to everything else.
I'm a Sun Devil, man!
And Gary Bettman and Alex Morello held a press conference today to give a statement on the Coyotes' relocation to Salt Lake City and the potential future of the NHL in Arizona. And then, of course, Wolf, we've been touching on this a little bit. The highlight tonight, Jordan Montgomery is going to make his Diamondbacks debut as Arizona faces the Giants at 7:15.
Well, that's pretty much it, isn't it, Luke?
It is.
Okay.
Wolf's out of here. All right. Thanks, Darren Maloney, Jesse Morrison. For Wolf, I'm Luke. We got Ferns and Gambo next in Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Peace and strength. La-da-da-da.
As far as that, that pretty much wraps things up here. And for one last time, this is Al McCoy saying thanks for being there. Thanks for being with us tonight. And from the Footprint Center here in downtown Phoenix, we'll just say so long for now.